What?
Ramey Smith.
Okay. Sword. All right. I'm ready to go when you are. Now, last time we introduced the basic format that we're going to try to use constantly as we go through the signs. The emphasis on what parts of the format will be getting the most attention, that'll shift from time to time. Last time we also said that occasionally we would add new elements to the format that show different things about the signs. And that's just what we're going to do this time. We're going to talk about progressive zodiacal or horoscopical development. That is, we're going to take and follow something as it progresses and develops. The key principle, just make yourself right at home. The key principle of physiology is a principle of homeostasis. That is, everything in our physical bodies tries to maintain a balance, or many different kinds of balances. And so the body is always correcting for the stress that is produced when we do different things, when we make changes, such as going for a walk or something like that. Now, in the soul or in the psyche, there is a similar homeostasis. The zodiac, which represents the cosmic whole, is also subject to all kinds of imbalance, which is just what you expect with when it's broken up into 12 different signs or 12 different attitudes. Each one is going to produce a different kind of balance or imbalance. The zodiac itself is a marvel of balance. Its whole structure has several different kinds of balance, and we're going to run into them as we continue to proceed through the signs. Now, we say that when somebody is psychologically unbalanced, we mean to say that that person is not sane. And that balance is very, very important to psychological health. And any time that we become unbalanced, whether we're too mental or too emotional or too physical, the whole psyche suffers. Something like that is what we're going to look at now as we proceed into the second sign of the zodiac. Each sign is very different from the signs next to it. Each sign, the adjacent signs, are extremely different to the signs that they're right next to. And this is to form a kind of balance. Because we started out last time talking about Aries. And if we went from action to more action, the whole soul would be out of balance. So what we're talking about is what happens when progressing from Aries to Taurus. It's a progression from action or thrust into resistance. Not merely the stuff of resistance, but an attitude of resistance. But the resistance itself is Taurus. What we're talking about here is like the old popular song, when an irresistible force meets an immovable object. And Taurus, to some extent, represents an immovable object. And wherever a Taurus is in your particular horoscope is the place where you're going to be the most resistful to change. It likes the status quo. It wants things to be as they are forever and ever. there's a similar kind of progression through the houses. The first house represents new starts. It represents new activities, assertions. Well, the opportunities of that kind develop out of it responsibilities. That is, if you start to do something new, you accrue responsibilities to your activity. And so the second house not only indicates finances or money or things like that, it represents the responsibility. If you have things and you own things, then you're responsible for taking care of them. Aries likes to go out and conquer, or the first house likes to start something up, but when something is started, then you have to maintain it. Suppose we look at plant life. We said last time when the sun is in Aries, he is at the beginning of spring. And what happens at the beginning of spring, a very vital action of Aries, the plants come shooting out of the ground. But the plant needs some stability. So in the same way that Aries represents shoots, Taurus represents roots, something that takes hold, that is goes to the heart of the earth. It stabilizes things, it grounds things, and brings things down to earth. Now suppose the first house, going back to the houses again, the first house represents an initiation of a project. Suppose you're writing a poem, or suppose you're building a house. The initiation is what the first house represents. Before you can do anything, you have to have materials. The second house represents the materials that you need to accomplish what you're doing. Like in national charts of countries, it represents natural resources and raw materials and things like that. So all the supplies that you need are indicated by the second house. All right. We're going along fine. We won't be here 3 hours and 45 minutes this time. The symbol of Taurus, it has two of the fundamental symbols of all kinds in it. It has the circle. And the circle in symbology always represents the spirit. It has no beginning, it has no end, it goes on eternally. And everything in the circle is referenced to a common center, like the center of spiritual consciousness. So what we're talking about here with Aries is it has the element of the spirit in it. The other element is the semicircle. And the semicircle is half spiritual. It usually represents soul. That which stands between body and spirit. Soul, in our soul nature, is where things are communicated from spirit to body or from body to spirit. In this case, in the symbol for Taurus, the semicircle is above the circle. And so there is the quality of soul being paramount over spirit. Normally, you would think it was the other way around. And that indicates that spirit, to some extent, as far as the work of the world is concerned, is submerged beneath the soul ends. Being an earthy sign, a lot of those soul activities are sensory things. Taurus is a somewhat sensual sign. It likes solid, real things. So there is something here of the spirit being more of a receptacle of sense perception and then sustaining it. This is the symbol of something that receives and something that holds on when it receives. Everything about Taurus likes things circular to some extent, but we'll come to that a little bit later. Obviously, it's also a symbol of the bull or the bull's head, which brings us to the animals or the families of animals that are associated with Taurus. The classical symbol for Taurus is the bull. And some of you didn't have the advantage of growing up in the country. I was very lucky to grow up in the country on a farm where we had all of the farm animals. And if we didn't, our neighbors did. And so you got to really experience the character of an animal. Well, the bull is something of an insensitive animal. You never get in a pen with a bull. It'll crush you without even knowing that it's doing it. There's something that is tough-skinned about a bull. It can take almost anything. It's massive, and it's usually quite blocky in its shape. So it will take just about anything, but look out if it comes roaring at you. You know, we're talking about something that has momentum, something that is really solid and that when put into action is almost an unstoppable thing. Now it's curious, I've been trying to stress in all of these talks the terrible things we do to animals. You know, beside the hormones that they feed to animals, we do all sorts of other things to animals. Do you know that most cattle are fed concrete? They're fed concrete, and a certain portion of their bodies are concrete. They say it's a mineral supplement, but it really is just to beef them up and make them more solid. The bull is not aggressive. The bull is a defensive animal. It's a ferocious fighter. In all of the history of Rome, when they would put various animals against each other to fight life or death, never did a big cat one-on-one defeat a bull. The bull always won. And so this is the way Taurus is. It's not an aggressive sign. But if it defends, look out. It's something that is, it protects defends the ones that it loves. And with Venus ruling the sign, it's obviously quite a strong, intense kind of love nature that it has. With bulls, if you go out here to the American Breeder Society, some bulls live for decades and decades because bloodlines genetically in cows are carried along through the bulls. We've all heard all of those nasty jokes about bulls and all of those things. Another animal ruled by Taurus are oxen. It's the same thing as a bull without the testosterone. In fact, even more powerful, more docile. The team of oxen are really, really hard-working animals. You know that almost all of the animals that do work are vegetarian animals? There's only one animal that is a meat-eating animal that does work, and that is the sled dog. All the rest of them are vegetarian. If you've ever watched oxen work, it's not like a team of horses. A team of horses, you can move along pretty swiftly. Oxen are plodding. And this is the favorite speed of Taurus, slow. They're always, you know, you can't rush them. You can't force them in any which way. They're steady, they're stable, they're solid, and oxen have tremendous stamina. Taurus is one of those signs in the ascendant. Put it to work and it'll work and work and work and work and just won't quit. Then we come to the female side of things, cows. Humanity probably owes more to the cow than to any other animal. We get milk, we get meat, we get leather, the gelatin from the hooves, Discover magazine about 2 or 3 years ago did an article in which they talk about how just about every molecule of the cow is used for something. It's almost impossible in our society to be a true vegetarian, because you're going to find meat in the strangest places. It wasn't until just a very few years ago that Ritz crackers weren't vegetarian, that they had some lard in them. It's very hard. If you wear contact lenses, the contact lens solution is taken out of slaughtered animals. So in general, the cow represents productivity, and it represents wealth. Any planet well-disposed in Taurus is likely to opulence. It's likely to end up being rich. Now, if you've ever watched cows, they like food so much that they don't just digest it once, they digest it several times. They love to chew. I have a friend that is very, very much Taurus, and he looks bovine. He looks like, his face looks like a cow, and he just loves to chew. It's the interesting thing about Taurus. We don't realize the intensity of the sign. You know those people that sit and, you know, their legs are jumping up and down? Most frequently you'll find that those are Taurian people with a very strong Taurus emphasis. It's almost like the intensity of the compression in their life produces a nervous intensity. Cows are always breaking things down and regurgitating, and, you know, eating it once isn't enough. It is a sign that, if taken wrong, represents greed. There are some very greedy Taurian types of people. But the fact is, I lived with a Taurus that was a musical composer. And he would compose symphonies and things like that. And he would work tediously to make sure that every note was right. When I was with him, he was putting the words to the secret doctrine to something for orchestra, guitar, and voice. And it was just amazing the things that he did, that he had such understandings of all of that music. But he would finally get, it would take him sometimes weeks to get one phrase. And then, when he had that one phrase, he'd set it aside. He'd try dozens of others, just to make sure. With Taurus, there is a thoroughness that just never, never quits. In fact, it's so thorough that a lot of modern agriculture doesn't like the fact that if given a chance, they'll eat all the time. A cow will eat itself into bloat. That's greed. It'll eat until it's almost ready to explode. So you know what they do now in those modern milk parlors, like the ones that you see in the San Joaquin Valley, where there'll be hundreds and hundreds of cows? To keep them chewing, they give the cows styrofoam. Yeah, they flavor the styrofoam a little bit. It's insane what we do in our society. Endurance. Even the most oppressive conditions cows will live under. When you go to on the way to Denver, you're many miles away, and you know that you're coming to the feed lot because you can smell the stink. They cause the cows to lie in their own shit. And it's filled with urea, which must burn them. But they don't care. You know, there's no grass. There's not a scrap of anything living in a feedlot. It's terrible. The milk from contented cows. Remember when Carnation Milk used to call itself that? Contentment is something that goes with Taurus. It goes with the cow. cows are excitable, they like to be content. Now this is a principle. We're trying to get at a universal principle. If you get the universal principle, you can deduce it for any horoscope that you're working with. See, this is a principle of inertia. It takes a lot to budge, but when you've once started something going, it's hard to stop it. A principle of inertia is something at rest tends to stay at rest. And the psychological attitude of inertia is contentment. It's happy to be where it is. And that's the kind of attitude that it has. They're super nutritive. You know that cows have been hybridized so much that they have huge udders. So what they do with those cows is they put braziers on the cows to hold the udders up so that they don't drag in the dirt, and then the tits get scuffed if they drag in the dirt. But the udders are so huge that when they put a brazier on the cow, pretty soon the back is sagging, which is all right because by that time it's fulfilled its usefulness and it's ready to go to the slaughterhouse. I'm going to convert everybody to vegetarianism. No, only if you have that. Cows do horn in, but they're not aggressive. They, in fact, are easily cowed. You know that a cow is earthbound? A cow can't look up into the heavens. It's very hard. Its whole defensive system is meant for, you know, predators after it. So that's the way its eyes are set up. So it's not a sign that looks to the heavens. It's a sign that looks to earth. Now last time we talked about in Aries we talked about the incisors. How sheep will with their incisors nip things and nip them right down to the root crown. That's not cows. Cows do it all by tongue. And in most mammals, including humans, the most powerful muscle in the body is the tongue. And so they just basically rip things off with their tongue. And the tongue is obviously taste. Taste is one of the personal senses. We're talking about an earthy kind of consciousness that likes things personal. This is not something abstract, like you see a star from 10 million miles away or more than that, 10 million light years away. We're talking about something that wants to have a personal experience of something, especially taste. The taste that Taurus has is very good. Of course, sometimes you have the afflicted planets in Taurus. You have people who love kitsch, and they've got all kinds of junk and knickknacks and things like that in their houses. But I hope I'm not stepping on any toes, and Taurus is a rhythmic sign. In human beings, we have rhythms of all kinds. We have circadian rhythms, which are 24-hour rhythms. There are many of those. And there are unconscious rhythms that we can consciously interfere with, like the speed of the heart or the speed of the lungs. But the only rhythm that we use all the time, volitionally set, is chewing. And chewing is something that is completely completely volitional. And it is rhythmic. It's very hard to chew arrhythmically. Have you ever tried doing it? It's not an easy thing to do. Calves. Calves are bully. You know, they like to snort and they like to play assertion, but they're not really. And if you ever tried to lead a calf around, you know how it is when you try to lead a calf around? It just gets obstinate. It doesn't want to do anything, and it locks its front knees, and it digs in, and you can pull and pull, and that thing is not going to move. That kind of digging in the heels kind of thing is the stubbornness that comes from Taurus. Now, these are all things that can be used for positive or they can be used for negative. On one hand, you need somebody who's persistent, who never gives up. Oliver Cromwell, who never gave up in the British Rebellion. He never gave up. He was a diehard. And for something like that, Taurus is perfect. But sometimes you know, some people are just stubborn and they won't change no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. And that's the thing. All right, some other animals. A whole family. Swine and hogs are ruled by Taurus. They're greedy. They'll eat anything. They're omnivorous. And they like everything raw. They don't like dried food. Cows will eat dried food. Do you know that there are only three animals that you can get roundworm from? Trichinoa, bears, pigs, and humans. If you're into eating humans, I don't think I have to have an anti-cannibalism lecture. Despite what we feed them, which is basically swill, hogs love roots, and they love rooting, and they are again in the personal senses. They like truffles, you know, those mushrooms that grow under the ground that add flavor to everything many times. That's the whole concept, is a Taurus concept. But what they do when they want to go for truffles, they take a pig, and they put something on so it can't eat the truffles, and then they take the pig through the woods, and then the pig goes rooting because it knows where the truffles are underneath the ground. So it's something like it likes the senses that for most beings are senses that reach satiation or cloying rather quickly. Again, pigs, because they have weak eyes. I grew up, my brother, who has been adversarial to me all of my life, is a Taurus. And we were the typical Taurus Scorpio opposition. So I have some insights into the nature. If you've ever grown up on a farm, pigs have two modes of expression. One are squeals and grunts. One is squeals and one is grunts. The squeals, when they're excited. If you've ever seen a squealing pig, it's a really high-pitched squeal sound that it makes. And the other is a grunt. And usually there is a grunt of contentment, or a grunt of satisfaction. And I grew up with a brother that would, you know, at various points during the meal, he would be grunting with satisfaction. Pigs have small spiral tails. Now, I'm going to go into a side trip because it's something that doesn't have especially a lot to do with astrology. But in the animal kingdom, because the animals do not have the indwelling spirit, they're not self-conscious, they are not aware of the fact that they are divine individual foci of God. They don't know that they're gods in the making. But they do have creative energy, just as we have creative energy. And in humans, part of the creative energy is turned downward and outward for procreation. The other part of the creative energy is turned upward, and it is where we do our creative work, whether it's science or technology or art or something like that. And there is the voice box, which is the way we express ourselves. Now, animals can't do that. They can't talk, and they have some communication through sounds. So what they do is what we turn upward, either in creativity or in spiritual exercises or something like that. They have tails for that purpose, meaning to say the energy, the excess energy that gets built up goes out in the tail. And it's just the way Henri Balzac said. Henri Balzac was a Taurus. In fact, if you look at his face, it is sort of a pig-like face. But he said, the good Lord put the smile of a dog in its tail. And that's where the expression is. But if you notice, in animals that have small tails, they become very massive. That is because the energy that would normally be expressed out through the tail has to go somewhere. And so it goes into making flesh. And since the spinal energy, which is responsible for all magic, which is responsible for all healing miracles, that spinal energy is something that is divine. And animals with small tails then turn it into flesh. And this is why in the symbols of all religions, boar's flesh or pig's flesh was the symbol for wisdom. Like in Norse mythology, the knights who were truth seekers that would go out and come back if they were true to their seeking all day long, at night they were treated to a boar's flesh dinner, and they would cut the flesh off of the boar, and as soon as it was cut off, more would replace it. And this is why Buddha was said to have died of eating boar's flesh or of eating pig's flesh. Now, Buddha was a vegetarian all of his life. In fact, he didn't eat hardly anything at all. That's symbolic of saying that he died of eating the deepest kind of cosmic wisdom that you can get. That is what he had in his consciousness. It's the kind of consciousness that the Bible says you can't have that kind of wisdom and live. That's what they're talking about in something like that. So when you see pigs with a spiral tail, the spiral is always the symbol of wisdom because everything grows in spiral format. But the tail isn't the only part of the pig that's spiral. Pigs have spiral penises, which means that their temperament is very important, that they're careful, very, very careful. And like all things, they do things slowly and carefully and very thoroughly. Like a copulation of a pig, it is not like the copulation of a cow or of a horse, which is over, rip, it's done. With a pig, it lasts a long time. Because if a boar inseminates a pig, there is a quart and a half of semen that goes into the pig. Melissa's when it comes to substance, they're all out in that. There's an article in today's paper, I forget what it was, the morning or the evening, talking about feral pigs. And it showed feral pigs that were in the muck. You see, pigs don't sweat. They don't have sweat glands. So they have to come in contact with something that cools them. And that's usually water or mud or something like that. Is it too hot in here? It gets too cold. We'll just bring it back up. Now, in laboratory tests, the pigs are the ones that do the best in memory tests. Pigs have a long memory. You don't want to really cross a taurus. They're sweet beings. They're beings that, it takes a lot to get on their wrong side. And if you get on their wrong side, they'll hold a grudge forever. Forever and ever. It just hangs on and it hangs on. So the pigs in the mazes that the professors run them through, they're successful for two reasons. One, they've got a long memory, and two, they want food, which is at the other hand. Boars, we won't say much about them. They're defensive. The only time a boar will really attack you is if it's cornered. It slashes, it doesn't rip, and they run in packs. They're more collective. They're not like the animals that run solo, the males run solo. Other animals that are potentially ruled by taurus, hippopotami, and camels. Now, there are some that are shared rulerships between Taurus and Scorpio. The porcupine is a Taurus-Scorpio animal. They are the ultimate in defense. They actually try to change their body into the, like the Taurus symbol. If there is a threat to a porcupine, it rolls itself into a ball. And all you see are these spines that are sticking out. And it's really quite a thing that it defends that way. And they move very slowly. Another animal that is very much mistreated, that's very defensive, very slow, has a small tail and is very fleshy, that happens to be its demise, is the armadillo. They get those short little legs, and they carry leprosy of all things. Armadillos are one of those things that it's almost like a warning about being too personal with things. One other group of animals that is extremely Taurian and goes back as far back as the history of human education, turtles, tortoises, and terrapins are all ruled by Taurus. Turtles live primarily in water, tortoises live primarily on land, and terrapins are 50-50. They're very long-lived. Taurus and one of the other Capricorn, the earth signs, Capricorn, are the signs that like to live very long. The turtle is slow and deliberate. And you can live a lot longer if you're slow and deliberate. You know, Aries are not known for skipping accidents or things that of that nature. If you look at a turtle, a snapping turtle, you find them in ponds around here. You probably got some in the pond at home. Extremely mandibular. You don't put your finger in the mouth of a snapping turtle or you won't have a finger. It'll just cut everything right off. That lower jaw is the Taurian quality. You see it in people. If somebody has an overbite like that, that's somebody that is really, really willful. When we're talking about Taurus, we're talking about the power of will. Not in an assertive will, but in an enduring kind of will that tries to be eternal. Like the first principle of eternity is the will principle. And eternity lasts, you know, forever. The turtles are very possessive and protective. They take their bodies with them. And, I have to say things I don't want to be misunderstood about. The earthy signs, because they tend to wrinkle more and because they tend to take a lot of time in the earth and earthly pleasures, are not always the prettiest signs. Very often Taurus rising, I just got the Dickens from a friend of mine who has Taurus rising. He has a turtle-like face, and it's in some ways an ugly face, but he smiles and loves a lot. And the different wrinkles happen in different ways. I have Virgo rising, and so I have a lot of the long, linear wrinkles. Well, the wrinkles that are like the wrinkles that occur when Taurus rises are radial. It's like from the center of the face. If this is the nose, the eyes are here. It's sort of like there are radial wrinkles that come out. The perfect example of that is a man that probably nobody in this room knows, but he used to be quite a famous as a comedian. The comedian that was named Jackie Vernon. He used to play a trumpet. If you can ever get a picture, I'm sure you can find a picture of him on the internet. He's got those kinds of wrinkles that come out, and he has the tortoise-like face. Supportive. It's sort of like in BC, where the apoteryx sits on the back of the turtle and is carried around. If you remember all of the very ancient pictures, the earth was held up by a man who stood on the back of an elephant, and the elephant stood on the back of a turtle. And the turtle was bedrock. This is what Taurus represents. It represents rock. not tillable soil, not crystals. It represents hard, solid bedrock. This is a characteristic of the sign. Absolutely. We got any? We got a few other animals. Yeah. Snails, very slow and very sensitive. Did you know snails love sweet things? And they have a passive defense. Another group that I don't want to spend too much time on: donkeys, mules, and asses. They're righteously stubborn. They are like the camel. They'll take so much and nothing more. And they're very, very, they're very intelligent. And they're much harder laborers than horses, pound for pound. They're clannish. And they're also animals that like to rut in the earth. Pigeons and doves, very beautiful, very shy. Even the passenger pigeon, for all of its beauty, wasn't really flashy. It's not like the Aries birds that are real flashy. They're very good flyers, but they prefer to be inert. I have a bird feeder back here, and the only birds that will regularly go to the ground without fear of the cats in the neighborhood. When you got an organic garden, you've got all the neighborhood animals. I got four or five different cats that come back here. And I tried to fight them because they try to get the birds when they're at the water fountain or at the bird feeder. And I tried to fight them away at first, and I can't do it. And so there's one cat that I would like to teach in some way or another. It's just these big, long trails of crap. The doves love to what is called bill and coo. At one time in one of my first classes, it was a young woman that was a student at the university, and she had the sun in Libra, she had Taurus rising, and she was beautifully dove-like. And she went away for the summer, and she came back to me, and she's just lovely. And she said, "Richard, it's harvest time." I didn't take the hint. The doves are among birds. They're very tactile with each other. They love to rub against each other, and they have a very long-term memory. And they're very faithful to extreme. And there was that tree next door, that apple tree, or the apple tree went before you moved in. There was a family of mourning doves that were in there. Every year they came back, and it was really a treat. Of course, the doves represent peace. And it can't be said too many times that Taurus and Libra, both of the Venusian signs, are peaceful signs. Like they're even willing to sacrifice for the sake of peace. One more, and that is classically, going back to the time of the Greeks in the famous ornithology or bird book, sparrows are ruled by Venus and Taurus. If you look at a sparrow, it's round, almost like a ball. And they are very talkative, especially at this time of the year. Extremely vocal with each other. And they like being around humans. Sort of like, they like company. Taurus people won't go charging out for people, for friendship, but they don't like to be alone. To find a Taurus hermit like this is not a common thing. Seasonally, when the sun is in Taurus, this is the fixed part of spring. No more of the back and forth of Aries where it's summer one day and winter the next. All of the buds on the trees begin to swell, and everything gets leafed out, and everything is full and rich, and everything is productive. The sweet saps are rising, and Taurus being a Venusian sign loves things sweet. The flowers that come out are not like the bulb flowers, which are here one day. They're not flash in the pan. These are flowers that hang on. This is full spring. The grass is full green. And we till the soil when the sun is in Taurus. And when we till the soil, all of those wonderful, rich, earthy, bacterial smells come out. In fact, you can even smell when the last bit of frost has gone off. The smell that has been stored up all winter beneath the frost comes out, and it's really rich. If you like rich, earthy kinds of things, it's the time of the first mushrooms. And mushrooms, as we said, are very much a Taurus thing. All right, let's look at mythology. And we don't have a lot to say in mythology. There are few Taurian same type. They all have to do with creative cows or creative bulls. Brahma, Prajapati, has the power of creation. And Brahma, when he creates with imagination. Taurus is one of the imaginative signs. With Aries, everything is all energy. Let's get this over with and get it over with quickly. With Taurus, there is much more of a tendency to imagination. All of the wealth of ancient India was determined by how many bulls you owned. And the Brahmins themselves had their authority by the power of the substance of their lives. They were the rich people. In Egypt, it was Apis. And Apis was the cow that was the source of all of the other cows. Actually, when you say the cow jumped over the moon and what was left behind was the Milky Way, the star, that's the very picturing that the Egyptians have of Apis. All of the gods each sucked at a pap of Apis, and from that they received divine nutrition. Moving to Greece, we have Europa, who was a woman that was very beautiful and attractive to Zeus, and he turned himself into a bull to attract her and take her away, and she became the founder of what is now Europe. But it was the same kind of thing. She was eventually turned into a bull and was into a cow and was eventually a mother source for everything. Now, there is something historical about Taurus that doesn't necessarily have to be mythical. But in the Taurian age, cities sprang up, Babylon being the most representative of them, but it was the whole idea of walls. What a shell is to a snail, a wall is to a city. And so in the Taurian times, the people were very defensive, and they put up these huge, massive, Taurus-like bulwarks. This is when the Wall of China was built. And so when you're talking about defenses, you know, now when we talk about the Department of Defense and we see what happened in Iraq, that's the Department of Offense. We wanted to dazzle them and fry them, and that's not defense. When you put up a wall so that somebody has to crawl over a wall to get at you, sort of like Babylon was impregnable. That is what defense is all about. So the whole idea of protection, not just personal protection, though turtles and snails do protect themselves personally. Taurus is a collective sign. It means that who it loves, it wants to protect, and therefore it puts up the solid walls. Unfortunately, what happens is when you put solid walls up, you're stuck behind solid walls. I think Robert Frost, the poet, had something to say about fences may make good neighbors, but they isolate you from your neighbors. The thing about it is is that sometimes when Taurus is very strong, like in the ascendant or several planets in Taurus, there is that quality where people do set up walled-like consciousness. And what happens is it's almost like there's a gravitational effect on their soul nature, that from all of this outwardness pressing in, and they can't ever seem to want to get it out, an intensity builds up. Now, very often, Tauruses are the butt of jokes because they do things so slowly. And I think that it's very unfair that in IQ tests, speed is one of the things that counts. Because there is a lot of genius in Taurus that just comes out slowly. They're not stupid. You know, that's, you know, because somebody is slow doesn't mean that they're stupid. And this is that kind of a thing with Taurus. And another thing is because Tauruses do have this protectiveness about them that people think they're dull. But it is just the opposite that is the case. That it is as though all of the things weighing on them are like the layers of the earth weighing and producing this molten core. That inwardly there is a kind of sensitivity and intensity that that crashes in. Biblically, the myth of Jacob, when he's prophesying for his son Ishchar, he says, is as strong as an ass, and an ass that's bent down between two burdens. That is Aries and Gemini. Though there is some controversy, some claim that Ishchar is associated with the other Venusian sign, Libra. Cosmologically, oh boy, this is tough. Ancient peoples had a much different conception of space than the conception that we have. Their conception was very mystical. And in their mystical conception, matter and all the things made of matter came out of space. Not that space was an emptiness between matter, but that space itself was a plenum. And in that plenum, spirit could condense forms that became matter. And the name of that in all forms of mysticism is called cosmic root substance. And cosmic root substance is a space in which it is an infinite or an unending number of positions that are so close to each other that they're contiguous, that they're continuous, that there's no break. This is a concept that is Taurus. The concept is that it tries to go to the ultimate source of matter where everything is one. Everything is seamless. Everything is inseparable. This is a concept that is profoundly deep and that is profoundly basic. Anything that is built up out of matter has to be built up out of an original substance. And that original substance is what Taurus is all about. Now, when forms are differentiated within that, God, how would you say it? Resistless resistance. The nature of cosmic root substance is such that it provides the ultimate of resistance by resisting nothing. This is, again, that whole Venus idea. I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to resist you. I'm going to draw you to me. That the resistance is such that if you don't hold something in consciousness, everything laps back into space. Everything lapses back into cosmic root substance. That is the kind of conception that is a Taurus conception. It is a unity that you have to maintain. And the way things are maintained is by fields. The concept of a field, especially a gravitational field, is a Tarian concept. Matter is held in this cosmic root substance fundamentally by holding a field of consciousness there, and that is how a nebula forms, and out of that nebula the galaxies and solar systems and everything else is formed. But it's always a field of consciousness. And it is the denser the field, the greater the realization. And this is based on a principle. The relationship of Aries to Taurus is something that in physics is called the right-hand rule. Any time that there is a vector of energy, around that vector of energy, a field forms at right angles. So that when something is going zing, it's attracting something to itself. The zing is the Aries, and the attraction is the Taurus. So that if we look at the structure of an atom, the structure of an atom is an invisible particle that is passing through a field, and either the field produces the particle or the particle produces the field. It doesn't make any difference which way you look at it. But that's how, you know, all of this stuff put together is not solid stuff. All of this stuff is a field. And it's a really interesting conception. And that kind of field consciousness is Taurus consciousness. So it's a cosmic root kind of substance. So the harmonies that radiate through a field, or the rhythms that radiate through a field. Again, we're right back at the same thing again. Chewing is a conscious rhythm, is the way things are organized in a field. You can't be constant, so what you do is you put wave after wave after wave, just like the different spirals that form around. So Taurus then represents in its most basic way fundamentals. Don't give me any wild theories. Don't give me any fly-by-night ideas. Give me very basic fundamentals. Does it add up? Don't try to give me any fancy kinds of bookkeeping. Does it add up? Is enough. Philosophically, it's a little more difficult for Taurus. Philosophically, in abstract, Taurus rules materialism. Now, that's not to say that all Tauruses are materialistic, but it rules materialism. And by materialism, I don't mean the acquisition of things in that way. By materialism, I mean the belief that everything is made out of matter, as opposed to idealism, where everything is made out of spirit. So there is here then a concept even of identification of self with the body. And therefore, there is great security or insecurity about the body. I've seen it happen time and time again that there are some things you can't tell some people safely. For example, it's very difficult if there's a lot of Taurus influence, either in the ascendant or in the sun sign or in several planets in Taurus, you just don't talk a lot about health. Because we had a friend that just passed on a couple years ago, and you couldn't talk to him about health because you could see the panic. He was Taurus many times over, and you could see the panic come in his eyes. He would act blasé as though nothing were bothering him, but he thought his whole existence was this. And if you think that way, if your health is challenged, there are a lot of positive and negative philosophies that come out of this. If your body is the whole of your existence, you're going to be practical about it. And for the most part, people who have a lot of Taurus influence are very careful about what they eat. It's a practical thing. However, if you have somebody that is insecure, that has a lot of Taurus influence in them, they will eat more and more and more because they have their security. Well, if I have more stuff in me. This became a whole trait. With the pig-eating people. Hawaii, the only meat that they ever ate was pigs. And for Hawaiians to be big people, The royal class in Hawaii was like 6'7", 6'8", and they weighed 300 and 400 pounds, and they would have those luaus, which were just pig out things, and they would eat, and that they had more flesh, meant that they were more divine, and they had the right to be, you know. It's just fascinating how these principles work through different kinds of people in different parts of the world. It's just amazing. When something gets compressed, it gets refined. That is, if you take ordinary old carbon and compress it under many layers, you get a diamond. And so there's something of Taurus that the compression or the condensation or the desire to make things better and better, it's a Venusian sign, so it likes to perfect things, it results in a diamond, something that's as hard as you can get. And that kind of quality is what Taurus wants. If Taurus buys a tool, it doesn't want to go out to Menards. It doesn't want something that's going to fall apart after three uses. It wants a tool that's going to last forever. And, you know, it's Taurus, the fixed signs, are signs and houses together, are signs of freedom. Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. And when we come to each of them, we'll talk about a different kind of freedom. The kind of freedom that is Taurian freedom is from acquisition. You say, I'm materially independent. I have the financial freedom to do the things that I want to do. And that's a Taurus kind of concept. Other people, like if you took an Aquarius and you said to the Aquarius, well, you know, like the more things you have, the more free you are, the Aquarian would say, no way, I want to be free as a bird. I don't want to be tied down by anything. It's, you know, different points of view about the same kind of thing. Sensitivity. Again, we're back at that compression sensitivity. That even though there are all the claims of slowness and all of that, there's a great sensitivity. The Earth itself, just as a physical object, is tremendously sensitive. If you go over to the university, they have those pendulums that they use for measuring the density of the Earth in various places. The pendulums are so sensitive that you can take a reading with them and you can go up one floor, and if you know how far up you've gone, it can tell you what the average density of everything was between one floor and the next. Amazing. And that kind of idea of gravitational or mass or rhythmic sensitivity is a Taurian kind of thing. Regularity. It wants things to be regular, steady. Yes, one can get lost in habits, but if one doesn't have regular habits, one's life will fall apart and one's health will fall apart very quickly. It's a very important kind of thing. It's a Venusian sign, so one of the philosophies of Taurus, which we've mentioned a little bit, is peace. But the way Taurus keeps the peace is through sacrifice. That is, I'll take all of the hits to keep the peace. And it'll take, and it'll take, and it'll take. And nobody will ever really notice that it's hurting. But for the sake of heat, it will do it. Sake of peace, I'm sorry, yeah. I was already on to the next. Completion. This is one of those opposites between adjoining signs. Aries has a very difficult time completing anything because it likes the starts of things. It likes that fresh vigor of all new things. Taurus just hangs on and on and on and is completes. Ooh, I remember one time I was living in a place where I was sort of an errand boy. Yeah, I was living in Oceanside, California. And this lady would let me drive her big Oldsmobile for were, you know, just taking care of her and driving her around when she needed to be driven around. And I used to be able to drive on that three-lane death trap that they used to write rock and roll songs, "That Fool Was the Terror of Highway 101. I used to be able to go from Oceanside to the Santa Monica Freeway in downtown Los Angeles, bull of the road. Nobody passed me, or if they did, they got passed back. And she had this great big Oldsmobile, and I was a young kid, and it was fun. And I had to take her one time to a funeral. And she had to bring flowers to the funeral. And so we went to the flower shop. It was rather large. And she looked at every flower in the flower shop, even the ones that were inappropriate for a funeral. And she looked, and she looked, and she'd take them, and she'd look at them at different angles. We're talking big-time Taurus here. Every last one she looked at, and then she selected one. And doggone if she didn't go back and look at every other one again, just to make sure that she was right. And probably most people were so preoccupied with the activity of the funeral that they never noticed that bouquet of flowers was the most appropriate. By the way, there are all kinds of flowers out here on the island. All of the ladies can take a flower on the way out, or if you have a spouse that needs a flower, take one on the way out. I grow them for just that very purpose, and it's getting to the end of the season, so get them while you can. So this is a steady sign, a very steady sign. There is mirth to it, but there is mirth that is usually somewhat serious. As a nature force, Taurus rules coalescence, that which holds things together. It can be anything from glue, or it can be the loving quality, or it can be gravitation. All of those things, mass, inertia, hardness, depth, gravity, all of those are Taurus things. Taurus does not do anything in a shallow way. It wants something with depth. All density that acts as resistance, all solidifications. When you say, "Do you have collateral to solidify a deal?" you're talking Taurus terms. You're talking about that kind of thing. Even if it means impedition, that is a Taurus kind of quality. In anatomy and physiology, the jaw, which represents will. It's a hinging power. It represents determination. Taurus set into motion is determined. Teeth grind things down to the smallest particles. That's the whole idea. We have to overpower our food, and it's much easier to overpower our food if we break it down as far as it'll go. And the teeth are the fundamental indicators of the health of the body. There are a lot of views now that claim that even heart attacks come from teeth, from bacteria that start in the teeth and then get into the blood vessel and go to the heart and other places. And it's really that fundamental kind of a thing is a Taurian thing. And it's we said that the pigs have the long memories. And do you know that it really is true when they say jog your memory? So like if you chew on carrots and there's something crunchy like that, they have done tests, I read it about 2 years ago, that they find that there is improvement in people who chew more crunchy things in their lives when they do that in their memory. That the part of the brain where the, is it too cool for you? Chris? Okay. The part of the brain that has to do with short-term memory has a lot to do with being jogged. The tongue, taste and sweets. some extent the larynx physiologically, but we'll talk about that at another time. Again, let's look at some motivations, simple motivations, just to get a rough idea. Positive, Taurus will often see goodness as consistency or constancy, either one. Very important for a child. A child that doesn't have consistency in its life doesn't grow up right. The mental health societies all teach that very thing. You have to be consistent with a child. For Taurus consciousness, whether sun, ascendant, or planets in Taurus, is perfective. It perfects everything. And it likes harmony. It's really a kind sign. It's a shock absorber. I think we've covered most of the things here. Prudency. Some of the negatives, greed or possessiveness, attachment, or collections. I have with people with strong Taurus influences, I have a push-pull relationship. Either I get along with them really well, or it's really terrible with them. And the ones that it's really terrible with, it's something that pops into my mind whenever I see them after interacting with them back and forth for a few years. Every time I see them, I give myself a memo, the meter is always running. With some Tauruses, it's always going to cost you something. And somehow they manage to get out of it without it costing them anything. I don't know. A potential thing of negativity is pleasure seeking, because it likes to enjoy rich things. Sometimes there is self-doubt. Taurus sometimes feels it's lackluster. And you can do a lot to help such a person by reassuring them that they are not. Another thing is, there's a tendency to take on and become overburdened. And when that happens, the normal Venusian quality goes to the earthy kind of melancholy. It can become very depressed if it becomes overburdened. Let's see. I think we've mentioned most of the things that are important. Bipolarity, it is a negative sign. It's probably the most inert of all of the signs. It's dark, it's grave, it's heavy. Like all of the earthy signs, it tends to be doubting and pessimistic. It's a residual sign. It's a fixed sign. And without a doubt, of all of the fixed signs, it is the most fixed. Very, very fixed. It's an inescapable kind of destiny. The Taurus-Scorpio pole is such that if you have things in that pole, it's a destiny very hard to escape. It can be escaped, because Christ told us, ask whatsoever ye will. And he didn't say, ask whatsoever ye will, except if you have Saturn in Taurus. But sometimes the asking is very hard. It's an earthy element, and it is the most solid and tangible in its earthiness. It has what Carl Jung would call sensate values. It's like a bedrock. It's fixed earth. The ruler is Venus, so there is an objectivity of love. The two Venus signs are very objective in their love. Venus in Taurus needs something to love. The moon is exalted there, and familial cohesion is the quality that comes out. In fact, tomorrow night we're talking about the emotionality of Crazy Horse. And we'll be talking a lot about family cohesion in that. Hydrous crystals, the kind of crystals that take on water, are like the moon in Taurus. Uranus has its fall there because It gets either grounded or insulated, and that's the last thing that Uranus wants. Taurus is in its detriment there, and it's basically very weak. Mars in Taurus, because there's just too much immobility, and it wants to move things too much. Too much of its heat gets absorbed. Hey, we're doing this in a reasonable time. We'll be out of here in under 90 minutes. Famous people who had the sun in Taurus that give special indications of the nature of the sign. Harry S. Truman was a Taurus. Very determined. The buck stops here. He was, you know, nothing got beyond him. That's bedrock. Here's someone who wrote one of the most massive and most detailed works in the whole history of history. Edward Gibbon, the man who wrote The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. Now, especially when males have the sun in Taurus, there's sometimes a tendency to mediumship, to allow oneself to be taken over by foreign entities. One such person, Adolf Hitler. Here's one that is had to deal with the evolution of form, the famous evolutionary biologist, Urey. Here's one that loved sweet romance, but he did get into melancholy, Tchaikovsky. Here's one that had a fixed idea, an idée fixe that he wouldn't ever let go of, Krishnamurti, who had the sun in Taurus. And here's one who... if you ever see his paintings, they're stiff. They're stiff like they're made out of wood or something like that. Audubon, the famous Audubon Book of Birds. It looks like the Audubon Book of Decoys. Here's one that had a very pure tone, Bing Crosby. Here's one that represents the greed of Taurus, Phil Silvers, who played his whole life, he acted it out as Sergeant Bilko. Here's someone that was massively strong, strong as a bull, and he had all of his quality through follow-through. We're talking about Willie Mays. Here's one that is cow-like, and if you look at her face, she's cow-like. And she was even called a cow in the movies. And Margaret, he has the sun in Taurus. Here's one that really stayed, and she can play that straight person role to the hilt. Margaret Rutherford, Miss Marple. Here's one that's very matter of fact, that you don't argue with at all. Cher is a Taurus. Here's another one that painted like Audubon Gainsborough. And the ultimate materialist who thought everything was... began with matter and nothing began without matter, Spencer. Here's one that dealt with fields and with constants and things like that. Max Planck was a Taurus. One that liked things very rich and very harmonious, Duke Ellington. Here's one that was an earthy hedonist, Henri Balzac, who we mentioned earlier. Now there's sort of an earthy kind of quality that this was more than a grudge. This was vengeance. Machiavelli was a Taurus. He has all of that. Here's one that has a lot of depth and a lot of patience, but he based everything on matter. And any time that he passed out, he hyperventilated twice in his life. And both times when he hyperventilated, the subject was death. Sigmund Freud was a Taurus. He couldn't handle it at all. Here's one, Audrey Hepburn. Audrey Hepburn is the Black Angus of Taurus. It's one of those things that a thing and its opposite are often found in the same size. Like Black Angus cattle are noted for being very block-like, and they have been hybridized to be block-like. They want these massive bodies with the greatest amount of meat to them. But what happens is that sometimes the opposite extreme comes out. And in Black Anguses, there's a tendency to dwarfism. So Taurus, even though it deals with massiveness, it also deals with dwarfism. that sets in. And Audrey Hepburn is sort of like that. She's so petite that you think that, wow, it's just going to fall apart. Here's someone that, again, that the voice is there and the massive power, Kate Smith. Collective Harmony, Hammerstein. Here's one with a really big voice, Teresa Brewer. Here's one of my favorite dislikes. This is somebody, this is the bad side of Taurus. I can't think of anybody who has had more talent in the 20th century and has had a more beautiful voice than her, but she gets into all this opulence and she has the most terrible arrangements and she makes the worst kinds of movies because they're so ultra rich. Barbara Streisand. Yeah, she's so much talent, and to blow it on all of that ornateness, I can't handle it. Another great voice, Judy Collins. Here's one that used the massive approach to everything, Ulysses S. Grant. He did everything by producing a solid, unbudgeable front, and he won. Here's one that indicates the fields of attraction. Gauss. We talk about Gaussian fields. Here's one for the dirt, William Randolph Hertz. Here's one that's even more. Scorpio is the sign that has to do with sex, but sometimes it reflects into the opposite sign with great earthly indulgence. And this is one of those cases. Catherine the Great. I don't know if you're familiar with Catherine the Great. Had something like thousands of lovers, and had her legs broken when they were lowering a bull onto her, and the apparatus broke. I don't want to go there, I guess. Here's one that very deep and doubting. The earthy signs like to doubt, Bertrand Russell. Here is somebody that was very sweet and very luxuriant. Extremely luxuriant. He's a Wisconsin boy. Liberace was a Taurus. Here's one that carried the grudges. John Brown. Here's one that was the earthy signs sometimes are greasers, and here was the one of the big greasers. Valentino, Rudolph Valentino. Here's one that's very statuesque. And she just never quit. She even came out of retirement and danced with Rudolf Nureyev. Margot Fonteyn. Again, for sensitivity in depth, Charles Richter of the Richter scale is Taurus. It's just so amazing how all of those things just fall into place. We've already talked about Cromwell, the ultimate materialist, the Karl Marx, unbudging, and who loved sweets. In fact, at one time he was a pastry chef, Ho Chi Minh. Here's the ultimate of vengeance and pettiness. Robespierre was a Taurus. Here, very dry and very stoic, Gary Cooper. Sometimes, because they feel so dull, when there is a lot of Taurus influence, there's a tendency to dramatically overstate. And here's one that did that, especially about the tough things of the world, the star of The Third Man, Orson Welles. Here again, a defensive person, the master of the counterpunch, Joel Lewis. Another frontal general, Wellington. Here's the stubborn one, a stubborn one that even held out against Steinbrenner, Reggie Jackson. Another one that was so accurate that you could set your watch by him. He was in such a routine that the people would set their clocks by his morning walk, Immanuel Kant. And probably the most stoic and the most greatest genius of all the Tauruses that was master of just about everything you could with the mind, William Shakespeare was a Taurus. Abstract rulership, bankers. Together with Capricorn, geologists. Tasters, like wine tasters or pastry tasters. Evaluators or approximators, singers, sculptors, some mining, graphic arts, composers, composition is the act again of drawing things together into one unified whole. Correlators, collectors. In the ascendant, it is either a very big, massive body or a very petite one. And with Taurus rising, even in the petite, there's that barrel-chested kind of quality. And especially in the massive type, you find the no-neck people. And sometimes in the willful ones, the mandibular overbite. I have seen such a Taurus type that could lift the engine out of an automobile. Sometimes a pig-like nose, and sometimes twisted pig-like ears. And there's a dustiness or a swarthiness to the complexion. No matter what the race, there's a dustiness or a swarthiness. Very often, it produces the physically strongest of the entire zodiac. And we've already mentioned the jittery legs, cow-like features, the grunting, very conservative taste in the clothes. You know, like Barbara Streisand, even though I don't know if she has Taurus rising, I doubt it, but even though she goes for all the opulence, it's still conservative. Taurus rising is often quiet, and Taurus rising develops slowly. And I happen to like that a lot, because the best movies are the movies where the whole plot develops extremely, extremely slowly. And it has a very determined walk when you have Taurus rising. I put the cameraman on. Missed all of that, didn't you? We've already mentioned the wrinkles. Sometimes with Taurus rising, there's a very heavy face. And sometimes the little paintbrush noses, I find, with Taurus rising. You know, a little much more than that. I find that most often with Taurus, rather than any other one. Sometimes they're lumbering in the way they do things. All right, let's very quickly look at the second house and the kinds of opportunities that are represented by the second house. We remember that signs represent fields of attitude, houses represent fields of opportunity. Opportunities for income. What is the material equivalent for work? The second house is an objectification. This object or this money or this wealth represents my work. So this is the bread and butter house. If you have Aries on the second house, which is the only sign we've talked about so far beside Taurus, if you have Aries on the second house, it's a matter of there's not much bread and butter because it's sort of a haphazard spender. It spends it and it's off and it's away. You know, somebody who has a windfall and then blows it, like the typical, you know, the cowboy movie where the miners or something like that get into town, or the Dusty and Lefty, when they on the cattle drive, they get into town, they spend it right away. Income as spending power. There is something in the second house that represents a basic power. That is what is afforded to you by wealth. Resources, raw material, tangible assets, all of those things are what are represented by the second house. When the whole process is done, products are indicated by the second house. If you think you can build something, let's see a product. And if that product stands to the test of use, so much the better. Objectification in every which way. Whether you own a thing, and that thing, if somebody comes walking into the room, might not mean very much to you, but that to them, but that object means something to you. It's, in, you know, like if it's a knick-knack, like my father, used to like to take pictures when he went on trips around the country. And he took a picture, I remember one time, of a truckload of bent carrots. He was down in Texas along the Rio Grande there where they grow carrots in the summertime. And the picture was nothing. But for him, it was an objectification. He put the slide up for the other old people to look at it, and he'd start telling them. And it was an object on which he could expand his thought. And having a thing as an anchor, or having a thing as a launching pad or something like that, is what the second house represents. And if you think about money, that's what money is. It's a launching pad for doing other things. If you think of money just for itself alone, that's where you've gotten yourself into a nasty kind of spiral, and you're not going to get anywhere. But if you can launch from that into other things, so much the better. Things, formations, acquisitions, securities, even things like ballast, anything that grounds one or ties one to the earth. And what are the things that most tie us to the earth? Responsibilities. So the opportunity to fulfill one's responsibilities and to fit into the world as being somebody steady, stable, and solid are what the second house represents. Stuff. Especially important if you're a sculptor. The stuff, what is the nature of this material? A carpenter, especially if he's a cabinet maker, looks at the wood, and the quality of the wood determines what he can do with it. And the ability to deal with stuff. I once worked with a man who had never studied astrology, and his nephew wanted to proof to him that astrology worked. And I was working in the blind with the guy. And the guy had Aquarius in the second house and a whole bunch of planets aspecting Uranus. And I said, well, I don't know, but I think you'd be a stupendous electric estimator. And I hit it right on the head because he, yeah, it was exactly what things represented. Possessions and possessiveness. You might say a key word for the second house is I have. Burdens. If something is going to burden you as a thing, that's the second house.